Big Red Bench with Chill Insurance. Proud sponsors of Cork GAA. Chill Insurance. We'll take it from here. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for tuning away on this Sunday evening. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be discussing Kilkenny's win over Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final. And who'll be joining them in the final? Will it be Cork or Tip?
We have to be at our best to compete with them, and we know that. And they obviously, like, if we don't show up 5%, they're gonna run away with it, and we know that. And if they don't bring their A game, they're going to be in trouble as well.
We'll hear from Patrick Horgan, we'll hear from Pat Cronin, and we'll hear from the Tip camp between now and 7 p.m. Also tonight, we'll round up a busy weekend of local Gaelic games. We'll talk American football with the Cork Admirals, and we'll hear from Rory McIlroy as he looks to win back-to-back majors.
We don't practice all these hours and, you know, grind on the range and put so much work into it to be teeing off in the middle of the pack on a Sunday of a major. That's where you want to be. So
you're listening to the Big Red Bench right here on Cork's Red FM. Good evening, folks. Hope you're all very well on this kind of miserable Sunday. The rain just came out of nowhere there over the last half hour. Hopefully you didn't get caught in it, but I'm glad you're with us nonetheless. We're here until 7 o'clock this evening talking all things sport. Get in touch, 086-8104-106, if you want to send us a text, and you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We are going to talk hurling very, very shortly. It's been a busy day with Kilkenny defeating Limerick. Good game though, wasn't it?
Good game, really good contest. The atmosphere sounded absolutely unreal up there. Really whets the appetite for next again.
And we thought the weather was bad down here. It was atrocious up there. The floodlights were on at 4:30 today. Yeah. It was that bad. There was a torrential downpour in the second half, which made the pitch very, very soggy, which meant that the ball was just sticking to the ground any time it dropped out of the sky. So very hard for the players to play in that.
Yeah, an additional element to add to the difficulty today. And just unbelievable. Like everything was there. The contest as regards the hurlers, the different performances that different individuals put in, and definitely the weather conditions weren't helping either.
We have a cracking competition on the show tonight as well, with thanks to Reardon's Bar. Going to get you details on that shortly. Before we do that, Lisa is going to get us up to date.
Well, starting with Gaelic games, Rory, and the story of that game is Kilkenny booked their place in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship Final. Limerick led from the second minute as they opened the scoring through Declan Hannan. The sides were level twice inside the first 12 minutes, but it was Limerick stretching their advantage by the 16th to 3 points. The Cats stayed in touch before the killer blow before half time as Richie Hogan goaled on the stroke of injury time there. And at half time, Kilkenny led Limerick 1-9 to 10 points. The second half scoring again opened by Kilkenny with a quick reply from Limerick to a Dowling 65. TJ Reid added another free, but then it was Limerick back dominating, hitting 5 points before Kilkenny's second goal, a high ball in, which Owen Larkin connected with to put into the back of the Limerick net. Limerick battled right until the end, but Kilkenny saw this one out and it ended 2-13 to 17 points. So a 2 point winning margin to see Kilkenny progress. Kilkenny also took victory in the minor semi-final this afternoon in the first game at Croke Park, that beating Waterford in extra time there at 123 to 114. In local Gaelic games, it was football championship action down for decision again today. Ballincollig beating Carberry 315 to 111 to the progress to the quarter-finals this afternoon. Earlier in the Premier Intermediate Football Championship, Naoise Aubonne overcame Ballinora 10 points to 9. Another game later in the Premier Intermediate Championship is at 7:15 as Mallow and Newmarket clash in Kanturk. In golf, Rory McIlroy will tee off just before 8 o'clock Irish time as the leader of the US PGA Championship. He's 13 under par, one clear of Austria's Bernd Weisberger, his playing partner for the day. His frequent rival Ricky Fowler lurks close by on 11 under par. Excuse me. Successive birdies at 12 and 13 moved Graham McDowell up to 2 under par. Shane Lowry's had a fine final round, carding a 67 to end the weekend on 1 under par. In soccer, Arsenal have won the first piece of silverware on offer in the new English league season. They've beaten Manchester City 3-0 at Wembley to claim the Community Shield. The goals there from Santi Cazorla, Aaron Ramsey and substitute Olivia Giroud. Wolves lead Norwich 1-0 there in the late stages in the Championship through David Edwards. In the SPL, Dundee United beat Aberdeen 3-0, while St Johnstone had a 2-1 win over Ross County. Elsewhere in football news, Legia Warsaw have written to Celtic requesting a one-off game to settle their disputed Champions League qualifier. The Polish champions beat Celtic 6-1 in aggregate, of course, but fielded an ineligible player for 4 minutes at the end of the second leg, meaning that game and ultimately the tie being forfeited in Celtic's favour. Now wait for it, Rory. The Legia co-owner has asked Celtic to act in the spirit of the game and the rules of fair play and agree to a one-off winner-takes-all game in either Glasgow or Warsaw.
That's a bit twee, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're... I need to... I don't know. I can't. Celtic are not going
like
to do
the
that.
The letter is the language used in the letter is hilarious. Like calling on Celtic to use their, like, you know, as legends of the European game and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, trying to pull on the heartstrings a little bit. But they fielded an eligible player. The rules state you field an eligible player. It doesn't matter what the score is at the time or how long he's played for. They fielded an eligible player. That's their mistake. Dealing with it. Writing a letter like this is
it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing in very small time.
Hey, you know, Celtic were the brunt of a lot of jokes during the week when this happened in the first place. But Legia haven't done anything for themselves now coming out with this. It is kind of embarrassing, and I can't see Celtic acting on it at all.
No.
Anyway, finally in racing, the Aidan O'Brien trained Dick Whittington has taken the Group 1 Keeneland Phoenix Stakes, the feature race of the Curragh today. The 6-1 shot came home half a length ahead of Cool Company under JP O'Brien. And in some local racing news, young Cork jockey Johnny Burke was among the winners this afternoon at Downpatrick. He rode Circa Trova to victory for trainer Jim Dreeper, who held on grimly to record a 3/4 length victory over Mossman Park in the Downpatrick racecourse.co.uk handicap hurdle at odds of 6-1.
All right, play has been suspended at Valhalla as well. Torrential rain coming down there was suspended a couple of minutes ago. Don't know how long the weather delay is going to last. Looks pretty heavy, so could be 10 minutes, could be an hour. Don't know, but the weather has been abysmal there all weekend, so hopefully it won't today. Proceedings too long. Rory McIlroy due to tee off at about 5 to 8 tonight, but that will probably be delayed a little bit now because of this delay. We'll let you know when play resumes when it does. We're going to talk a little bit more about the All-Ireland semi-final and Kilkenny's win over Limerick. We're just going to hear first briefly from Brian Cody, who spoke to RT after the game.
To come out on the right side of a game like that is just you don't know where it's going, you don't know what's going. End up, a long ball came into the square there near the end, and you know, Paul Murphy got in his hand and off he went. And if it had gone the other way, who knows, a goal then, and it was all over for us. But look, it was just a tremendous battle, and certainly savage questions asked of us today, and thanks be to God we were able to answer them. But all the attachment from our lads was immense, you know, the work rate was immense, the just the chase and the hook and the block and the refusal to kind of to give in, you know. And one man had the ball and he gave it to the next Limerick man, there was somebody else coming the whole time. That was the key to it, you know. It wasn't a day for terrific beautiful hurling, because striking was difficult, shooting was difficult, everything about it was difficult, but it's not difficult to keep going and to have that genuine effort just to say there's no end here really, you know.
Now the question is, who will be joining Kilkenny in the final? Will it be Cork? Will it be Tip? If you're not heading to the game, we have the next best thing. We're giving you the chance to win VIP seats at Reardon's Bar for you and three of your buddies to watch the All-Ireland Hurling Semi-Final between Cork and Tipperary in the very best seats in Reardon's. Those seats be reserved right in front of the big screen. And you'll get complimentary food as well, including pizza, pie, nachos and a round of drinks as well. And a match day programme from the game as well. So a cracking prize if you're not heading up. So if you want to win that, with thanks to Reardon's Bar, give us a shout. Text us 086 8104 106. Text the word Reardon's and your full name and address, please, and we could be sending you along to Reardon's Bar for Cork versus Tipperary next Sunday, which is going to be an absolute cracker. That's with thanks to Reardon's Bar getting right behind the Rebels. Kilkenny, they weren't at their impressive best today, were they? But they were dogged, and that's been a telltale sign of this Kilkenny team over the last 16 years with Codeine Church.
Yeah, seen it out and seen the opportunities, taking the opportunities when they arrived. Yeah. A little bit of luck with
goals,
the
goals, win games and all that.
Golden matches, cliches. I have to say, it looked very promising for Limerick in the early stages of this game. 5 of their 6 forwards had scored very early on. Kilkenny had hit 5 wides inside the first 10 minutes, and it just looked like it was that little bit more complete from Limerick early on. But that goal from Richie Hogan just before half time, killer blow, killer blow for Limerick. And then on the resumption, as I mentioned in the roundup, you know, Kilkenny going for the first score, then Limerick coming back with 5 points. But then Kilkenny, again, relentless with the second goal.
That was some goal as well.
Yeah, like Donal O'Grady picked up the yellow card. TJ Reid took the free, struck it in, and there was Owen Larkin to connect and into the
lovely
back of the net.
Flick.
Yeah, and it's just the breaks that Kilkenny got. But we were watching the last couple of minutes together, Rory, and you could just, like, the breaks, they weren't coming for Limerick. And it was the difference, I suppose, the dogged.
They looked tired by the end of
it. They did, but it probably came down to the conditions and everything.
Yeah, I can only imagine how heavy that is underfoot and how draining that is to be almost running in treacle because of the boggy conditions.
Yeah, but I would imagine that all Limerick fans will be happy enough leaving Croke Park today, because the Limerick lads left absolutely nothing behind them. Disappointing year that they haven't got any silverware after last year's monstrous success, but compared to last year's semi-final when they lost so badly to Clare and just didn't show up at all, today they really put in a really strong performance.
They left it behind them a little bit though, did they?
I don't know, because Well, there'll be...
Like, if I was a Limerick fan, I'd be slightly disappointed we didn't see that out.
No, I'm pretty... Well, I'm a neutral, so it's easy for me to say. But I genuinely think that they put in such a strong effort today and it just didn't break for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be disappointing, but I think they were heroic. And TJ Ryan has done a really, really good job with them. I think he's been very impressive this year. Donal O'Grady left the setup and things were kind of up in a heap. How are they going to respond? And I think they responded quite well. But the other positive is that they're quite young, Rory. There might be disappointment now that a player like Kevin Downes didn't perform today. Mm. He came off. So, you know, maybe there was room for a little bit more, but I think for the most part, they put everything into that performance today. And, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, they'll look back at it and say, you know, we tried really hard and worked really, really hard.
A lot to build on for them. Now, who'll be joining them, though? The big question, Cork and Tip. This time next week, we should know who will be in the All-Ireland final against Kilkenny. Will it be Cork? Will it be Tipperary? The bookies can't separate them. They have them dead even. It's that close.
Tipperary, I suppose, have had the sort of year that after losing to Limerick, the league campaign, first of all, very up and down. The unbelievable league final they had against Kilkenny. Then they went into the Munster Championship and lost to Limerick. And then again against Offaly and Galway, building the whole way through. And then an impressive win over Dublin. So the way they've progressed throughout this year has been really, really interesting. So, and then Cork, by the same token, actually, you know, when you consider the draw against Waterford the first day out. So Tip and Cork, it'll always be hard to call, I think, because of the tradition that's there. But the interesting thing is that these sides haven't actually met that much as regards the 15 versus 15. But no, I think it'll be hard to separate the whole way through. And I'd imagine it'll be the same sort of contest we saw today.
Now we're going to hear from Cork captain Pat Cronin. First, he's going to give us an update on the stress fracture he sustained in the Munster final.
Yeah, it's good. I think I'm doing a strict rehab program there with Declan O'Sullivan and Dr. Khan. So I'm just working on that and see how it goes.
Are you hopeful? Or what's the...
I'm just staying positive anyway, and if I make it, I make it. If I don't, there's not much more I can do, to be honest. I suppose the only thing is just keeping your touch work going and things like that. So I've been down here every night doing that as well.
I imagine patience is one of the biggest things you have to have in the recovery from an injury, but an All-Ireland semi-final is a fine motivation to have that patience.
Yeah, it is, definitely. You know, we would have had a nice, I suppose, a blessing in disguise, really, would be the break we would have had 5 weeks. So that's given me plenty of time, and hopefully it'll stand to me.
Let's go back to that match. So, and obviously, injury aside, you had the absolute honour of claiming the Munster title. Tell us about that feeling.
Yeah, it was brilliant, in fairness. I think, being part of the last Cork team to play there in the old Parky Cueve, and I suppose being lucky enough then to be captain and lift the cup for the last time was extra special.
What struck you though at the full time whistle, you know, what stands out in the memory of the moment?
I think just looking out onto the pitch and seeing you know, just a sea of red, really. It was fantastic, and as I would have said a lot of times before, the support we've had over the last couple of years has been absolutely amazing. So hopefully now on Sunday week everyone will get behind us again.
The layoff now, since the Munster finally have got the title under your belt, so it's a 5 week layoff to prepare for a semi-final. How do you think that works for and against the Cork's preparations?
I think it can work either way. I think you often hear about lack of match practice and things like that, but I mean, we're training down here, we're playing really intense A versus B games every Saturday morning, and you know, they're as good as any inter-county game you're going to get, so a lack of match practice isn't going to be an issue for us.
Nobody holds back in those matches for fear of injury or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. If they were, they wouldn't be down here, you know. So everyone goes flat out as hard as they can, and that's the issue we had. If you get injured, you get injured, but you have to give it everything you have.
I was talking to Daniel as well about it. Having 5 weeks as well gives you an opportunity to maybe step up training that bit extra, maybe physically, or try new things because you have time to work, try a new approach.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the lads have been doing fantastic work. I mean, you can work on your fitness a lot more. You can work in the gym a lot more because you don't have a game on the Sunday and things like that to be worrying about. But and it has definitely helped for us. I mean, we've really upped the training over the last couple of weeks. And as I said, we've had fantastic games between ourselves, and it's all hopefully will be beneficial to us.
Well, give us your take on the quarterfinals.
I think there were two kind of poor games to watch in the end, but I think you know, the both teams that qualified look very, very impressive, to be honest. I think Tip look really, really good on the day, and also Limerick did. So, I mean, there's four teams now in the hunt, and I think every one of them are really a chance.
It's primed for a great championship end from a neutral point of view, but looking at Tipperary then in the year, their year to date, what would your thoughts be on them?
I think they're getting way better with time, and I think they're very similar to us. I mean, I think their last performance has been fantastic, and you know, looking at this game, I think it's crazy putting a favours tag on either team, because both teams 50-50. I mean, it's just going to be an absolute battle on the day, and it's just going to be 50-50. So.
But if I was to ask you to maybe break down one aspect of the Tipperary team or performance that you think is one of their greatest threats, what would it be?
Definitely their forward line, I think, is looking very, very sharp. They've exceptional forwards, as well as being able to move. They look like they're really playing for each other all along, and they look, you know, they're, in fairness, they look very, very sharp.
The league meeting, can you take much out of it, or would you, last meeting?
I suppose it's very hard to look back. I suppose that it was a good few months ago now when we played them, and a different venue, different conditions. I mean, you can't really take much out of it, but we performed very well on that day, but Tip just beat us. But I mean, there's going to be nothing this game as well.
And going to Croke Park for Tipperary and Cork, it's a new venture.
Yeah, it is. It's something very different. I've never played Tip in Croke Park, so it's going to be a fantastic occasion. I think, as I said before there, you know, when you're growing up, you often hear about the massive Cork Tip games and the 70s, 80s and Munster finals and things like that, but John, both sets of the supporters now will bring massive colour to the place, and make it a massive occasion.
It's some indication for the Munster Championship that we've three Munster teams in the last four too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think people underestimate how actually hard Munster is to win, and it's, you know, if you look at the start of our Munster Championship campaign, we've Waterford, Clare and Limerick to beat, so I mean, that shows an awful lot about this team and how it has matured over the last number of years as well.
How about how much you've matured since last year, returning to Croke Park now after last year's disappointment?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we would have learned an awful lot from last year, especially the two finals. I mean, you can't, I suppose it's an old GA cliche, but you know, you learn from your mistakes, and we definitely would have learned an awful lot from those 2 days. I suppose it can be sort of a daunting place to go for a young team like ours, but as you said there, we've definitely learned so much from it, and we've matured an awful lot as well.
And learning from defeat last year, and also learning from the highs of a Munster final and having that under your belt too, that's a lot of great experience since your last time in Croke Park.
Exactly, and I think the one thing we're taking to Croke Park this year is confidence and belief in ourselves that we're as good as any team out there. And I mean, you look at the championship, the Munster Championship campaign we came through, and I suppose that's one thing I have never gone into a game in Croke Park having a Munster title behind us, so hopefully now, especially with this young team, we'll build confidence.
That's Pat Cronin there, speaking to Lisa, head of Cork and Tip, next Sunday. We might not be seeing any more golf for the rest of the evening. The PGA have just tweeted a photograph that shows how heavy the rain is at Valhalla. The one of the holes has filled up with water, so even if you did put into it, the ball wouldn't go into the hole.
Yeah, somebody's on Twitter has described it as Venice. The fairways and the whole lot completely waterlogged, and there's more rain forecast as well, so it's not like it's going to clear anytime soon.
Yeah, so it looks like it might be finished tomorrow.
I was looking forward to that tonight.
So was I, actually. We're going to switch camps in the Premier County. We're forced through the back door after their Munster semi-final defeat to Limerick, but their qualifier route has seen big wins over Offaly, Galway, and of course the impressive quarter-final win over Dublin. We'll hear from Tip midfielder James Woodlock as he goes back to the league final defeat to Kilkenny, talking to Alan Morrissey.
I think you probably learn a lot more when you lose a game than when you win a game, you know. So we learned a lot about ourselves, and the team evolved, you know, from match after match in the league. And I think we have a settled team now. I think we have a serious panel of players now, and I think we're a lot hardened, you know, coming into the All-Ireland semi-final because of the road we're after coming.
Certainly some of the newer additions to the panel seem to be performing well, and then you've got some of the more experienced guys like Lara coming in there the last couple of games and getting some important scores, and Owen Kelly featuring at points as well. So it seems to be all coming to fruition at the right time.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I'd still say we're not where we want to be, you know, so all we'll be doing is trying to go to perform. And I don't think Tip have performed at their best this year, so I think that's what we're looking forward to on Sunday week, to see can we perform at our best. And the older players are blending well with the younger players, and the younger players are really giving us a push on, you know.
And when you say you're not playing at your best, is that kind of a positive in a way that you've actually reached an All-Ireland semi-final without reaching top gear? And maybe you haven't needed to in some of the games going through the qualifiers. You've just done thoroughly professional jobs, certainly against Offaly in Dublin, and that's all that can be asked of you.
Well, look, I suppose any given day you go out, you try to perform to your maximum level. But at the end of the day, you can only beat the teams that's put in front of you also. But we won our matches by not playing. I suppose we weren't happy with our performance. Even the Galway match, Offaly match, and then the last match against Dublin, we wouldn't have been happy with our performance. But that's the best we produced on the day. It's not like we planned to go out to play below par or whatever like that. We didn't. So we're still waiting for our performance. We're getting it in training. Definitely, I was just waiting for the next cog, just for it to click, that Tipperary can go out and produce the goods on a big day.
Certainly, James, one of the buzzwords of the summer seems to be momentum. But, I mean, it seems the most fitting word to describe your journey through the qualifiers. And there's another cliche that going through the back door can be advantageous in a way. But that certainly seems to apply to Tipperary. You seem to have kind of gained confidence as you've gone on.
Yeah, I suppose we have gained confidence. You know, momentum, we have got that now, I suppose, behind us as well. But I'd still say Tip aren't where we want to be. And we're not happy with where we are at the moment. We want to win All-Ireland semi-final. But to do that, we have to produce our best hurling, our best team display. And to date this year, we haven't done that. And we will be hoping to do it in an All-Ireland semi-final against Cork.
Why do you think that is, that you haven't quite managed to get to that point yet? Is it just what Eamon's trying to instill in the team takes quite a long time to get to that level? Or is this the way it always happens with a team? You're always striving to a certain level. You might never get there, but it's the trying to get there that will hopefully stand you in good stead.
Yeah, well, Eamon, I suppose, really is a free spirit himself, and he implores that on ourselves. You know, he says just go out and enjoy the game and play the game. That's what we're doing, but we just haven't got to the level that we're happy with, you know. And I suppose we talk about it an awful lot in training as a panel of players and the management where we want to go. We're still striving to get there, and I still think we will get there, but we just haven't got there yet.
The quarterfinal win over Dublin, I mean, it was brilliant from the point of view. You beat them well. But was it? I'm just wondering, certainly people afterwards were talking about it. It seemed like a strange day, given what was at stake in both games, the Limerick-Wexford game, that the crowd weren't quite attuned to the game and there didn't seem to be that intensity there. Did you realise that early on or afterwards? Were you remarking on it? Or did it matter? You just won. That's really the be-all and end-all of it.
Well, like, our job, I suppose, was to go out and win the game. We went out, we won the game, and I probably think we didn't get the credit for that game that we should have got. I thought we went out and we worked extremely hard. We expected Dublin to come with all guns blazing into Turles, and I think Dublin probably played below par, but we were ready for it for a big game, and it just didn't happen. And I know the fizz went out with the game probably early on, and from a sports point of view it probably wasn't a great spectacle, but unfortunately it didn't matter to us. Like, we were happy to come out with a win. We were delighted with a win in the All-Ireland quarterfinal to get us back into the All-Ireland semi-final.
And that's going to be a completely different experience. And it seems strange that after all these years and all the times you've met Cork, that this is the first time you'll have ever met in a championship match at Croke Park, which again adds to the excitement of what already is a massive game anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge occasion. You're going to have the Cork crowd and the Tip crowd going up the one road into Dublin. I'm sure both counties don't want to be anywhere else only in Croke Park on that day. I think, look, they're two hurling teams. It's going to be a great match. The buzz is always around with Cork and Tip. It's there for years. There's always great banter between both counties, and I suppose a great friendship between both counties. And while both counties will be gunning for one another on the day, both counties also respect the players on both sides and respect the tradition of the hurling in both counties. And I think it'll make for a mighty game.
Jimmy Barry Murphy, certainly last year he took a team that a lot of people probably didn't think would make an All-Ireland final to get to the final, and arguably, you know, within one puck of winning the original game. They've pushed on again this year, Munster champions, and they look in really good stead. Obviously you've been concentrating on your own games and what Tipperary are doing, but have you had a chance to see much of them in the league or in the championship, and what do you make of them?
Yeah, I'd have seen Cork in the championship, you know, I'd have went to see him, and I've said it from the outset this year, I thought Cork were going to be the team. I really like the way they play, and I think the team they went to Croke Park last year for Cork, I thought were very good, very close to winning All-Ireland final, but I think they're stronger this year, a lot stronger with the new players they're after bringing in. But it's old news to say Jimmy Barry Murphy is his first time doing it. He did it in 09 with a young team coming again, and I remember I was at that match again, and he was a hero then, and he was nearly a hero last year, and hopefully he'll be a nearly hero this year when we beat him in an All-Ireland semi-final. But Jimmy Barry Murphy obviously is a great man. He's a great team put together again, and with the footballers after coming in, the few other finds after, finds that he's after making, he's after making a really strong team there, you know, and they seem to be playing underneath him.
That's Tipperary midfielder James Woodlock there speaking to Alan Morris. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM as we begin our preview of Cork and Tipperary ahead of next Sunday's game. We're going to switch back to the Cork camp. Lisa has been talking to Patrick Horgan and first about that Munster final victory.
Yeah, it was obviously a big day for us, and there was obviously a lot of pressure on us that it was in our home pitch, and I think on the day we played really well, and coming into the last 20 minutes I think we just... You know, we put the foot down and obviously pulled away, and it was obviously good to get the win, but from now on it's something we're not thinking about, and we're just going to the semi-final. Like, we haven't won anything, and you know, hopefully we can win a big one. Like,
but there in the subconscious is how it feels to win, and it's great to maybe park last year and have the feeling of winning, and when you work so hard, reaping the benefits.
Yeah, obviously we trained so hard that you know, it's nice to win obviously, and we had that night obviously, and we enjoyed that, but as I say, it's back down to work now, and you know, that's, everyone's like that, and obviously at the end of the year we look back and whatever we're after winning we'll celebrate, and it's just not something we're thinking about now. We're thinking of you know, trying to win a bigger trophy.
So how much have things changed in the Cork camp, a training and the schedule, the whole lot?
No, I think the management put in a good plan there in place, and we're just sticking to that, and you know, week to week we're doing different things obviously, and you know, we're going to be 100% ready for Tipperary next week, you know,
because that's one of the big things, isn't it, out of winning the Munster Championship, is the big layoff till the semi-final.
Yeah, there's a layoff, but like, we've so much competition in the panel, like that, like anyone that didn't play in the Munster final like want to get into the team for the next game, so they're coming training and pushing everyone that's on the team, and you know, it brings out the best you in training, and it's all good for everyone, you know.
From a personal point of view, how are you feeling about your hurling at the moment, say on the training ground?
I'm probably the same as everyone else. I'm feeling, you know, fast, sharp, and I feel like I'm, you know, striking it well, so just all comes down to what happens on next week now, you know.
You'll get a lot of headlines in the media and things like that, and as top scorer with Cork and the whole lot, so do you feel pressure at any stage?
No, it means nothing to me really. It's like, as I said, or it's like, if we're beaten next week, it means nothing to know, and we're forgotten about next week. It's just it's all about, you know, the whole team, and you know, whether we can all win together, or if we lose together, you know, there's no pressure about that. We just need to, if everyone does their bit, we'll have no fear of us.
How much time do you spend on your free taking, practicing the whole lot?
A good bit of time, but a lot of the time you just, like, when you know you're hitting it well, you just leave it at that, you know. But you know, sometimes you hit about 30 or 40 a night when you feel like it really. It's just to keep a bit sharp, like, you know, once you keep a bit sharp, they'll probably stay with you, like, you know.
So your technique doesn't change or hasn't changed any time recently?
No, if you're like, as I say, if it's the same as anything, like if you're like a golfer or anything, if you're lined up at a target, and the ball should go where you're lined up really, you know, and if you practice a bit, probably get used to doing that as well, you know.
You're here with the hurling ball in your hand, and I remember at the last press event you were the same. Does it ever leave your hand?
Well, tonight, to be fair, I thought Pat Cronin was going to come and bring his as well. We're going to have a puck round there on the pitch, but he obviously didn't hold up his side of the deal and made me look like this, so no, I'll go for a puck round there now after this, and you know, obviously get a good feel off the hurley as well, so yeah.
Does that mean the tool itself is changing these days, Harley? That looks like it's weathered a few storms.
Yeah, it's been around a while, but you know, I have a few there at home, but you know, you obviously take a fancy to one, like, and you don't leave it out of your sight, so yeah, it's just like, you know, there's nothing better than getting a hurley that you have a nice feel for, you know.
All going well, so that's the one you'll start with next week?
Yeah, definitely.
Alright, back to talking about the match itself then on Sunday week, and Tipperary as the opposition, your thoughts on them this year?
I didn't see them playing any game, to be honest, but you know, I just know from the players they have that they're a really good side, and they prop a lot of scores, and no, we have to be at our best to compete with them, and we know that, and they obviously, like, if we don't show up 5%, they're gonna run away with it, and we know that, and if they don't bring their A game, they're gonna be in trouble as well.
Do you generally not watch the opposition, or you just didn't watch the quarterfinals?
No, I don't watch it. I'd be doing other stuff. I'd not be doing there. Sometimes I just chilling out there, just try to stay away from watching hurling, like, and just worry about our own team and come training with our own team, you know.
And is that because you're an intercounty hurler within that competition, or is it just? Like, I mean, would you watch an awful lot of sports, or is it a conscious decision not to watch the hurling championship when it's not your team playing?
I could be doing other stuff, you know, like, you know, be watching golf now most weekends, and I wouldn't have any interest in watching the other teams, because like, there's nothing you can learn from it, like, you know, the best you can do is just worry about your own team, and you know, worry about what we're doing at training, and then hopefully we're 100% for a match.
Do you think that's the downfall of some teams, that they overthink the opposition?
Yeah, like, it's like, you'd be thinking about the opposition. Like, if you're not 100%, that's the reason you're going to be beaten. Like, and it's not because of what the other team are doing. You know, we look after ourselves first, and whatever the other team bring, then we look after that, you know, on the day. Like,
how do you feel about heading back to Croke Park now after last year?
Really good. You know, it's obviously a place where every hurler in the country wants to tug out, and we're getting that opportunity this year. And you know, hopefully we can take advantage of it and get out of there with a win.
How much does the experience of last year count? And I asked Daniel this as well, like, what is experience? What difference does it make?
I actually don't think it makes any difference, because once the ball is thrown in, it's just another match. Same match as we play in training, and same match we play, you know, for the last couple of weeks. It's just in a different place. Like, and you know, I think that's what experience is, like, that, you know, you don't really mind where the match is on or who you're playing, that you can just go out and play in your own game, like, any week, like, you know.
Your preparations, I assume, will have been stepped up a little bit this week with, you know, it's getting that bit closer and it's going to step up anyway, but the footballers back in with you. The disappointment they suffered, do you think it'll help you drive on, or will you take from that at all?
No, I think the boys came back now this week, but you know, they were obviously upset about losing their qualifying, like, they were unlucky as well, but you know, I think that, like, to be fair to them, and I know it's a hard thing to do, that they came back into the squad, like, you know, and they weren't really, you know, too down about it, even though you probably know outside that they are, but you know, they just tried to get down and get back to work as hard as they can, and hopefully get rid of the memories of it and drive on for this week, you know.
Coming up against this Tipperary side now, you say you don't know that much about them, you haven't seen them. The entire country is going to find it very hard to split these teams going into the game. Is that the best type of build up to a match, do you think?
It's always the way with Cork and Tip, really. It's always 50-50. Like, there's going to be a lot of scores, and at the end of it, there's going to be only a puck of a ball in it. So hopefully we'll be the team that's ahead when the ref blows the whistle, you know.
Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Patrick Horgan there speaking to Lisa ahead of next week's clash with Tipperary. On next Saturday's show, we're going to hear from Daniel Carney. We'll hear more from Jimmy Barry Murphy, and we'll hear more from the Tipperary camp as well. That'll all be on next Saturday's show, and the interviews from tonight are available on our website, redfm.ie/sport. Still to come, going to talk local Gaelic games, going to look back on the Community Shield, and we're going to talk American football with the Cork Admirals between now and 7 on the bench.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
with Chill Insurance, proud sponsors of Cork GAA for all your business insurance needs.
Hi, Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 o'clock on this Sunday evening. We are followed by Ashley Keating with 3 hours of the best Irish music on Green on Red, and he's followed by Stevie G at 10 o'clock with Black on Red, all the best hip hop, soul and R&B. A reminder of our competition: we are giving you the chance to win a VIP table for you and three of your buddies in Reardon's Bar for the All-Ireland Hurling Semi-Final. That includes complimentary food, which includes wood-fired artisan pizza, pie sliders and nachos, and a round of drinks, and we'll get you a match programme as well. All the thanks to Reardon's Bar, who are getting behind the Rebels for the All-Ireland Semi-Final next Sunday. So if you want to win, just text the word Reardon's followed by your name and address to 086 8104 106. We'll draw the winners out at the end of the programme. We are going to turn our attention now to Gaelic games and mostly senior football championship action this weekend. Wins last night for Bishopstown, Nemo Rangers and Clann, and today Ballincollig booked their place in the last eight. Lisa's been talking to Peter McNamara of the Evening Echo about last night's games, but first they discussed the senior hurling championship clash of Ballymartle and Blackrock on Friday, as Ballymartle became the first team to book their place in the hurling quarterfinals.
Yeah, Lisa, I have to say that was actually a surprise to me. I thought Blackrock would qualify for that game. You know, as you know yourself, they've been making enormous strides, and I would have thought that Ballymartle, having had their chance in the last couple of years to really win a county and you know, progress so far as they did, I thought their chances were kind of gone to kick on again, and that was a huge result for them. There's no doubt about that. I get the feeling that, you know, having talked to one or two of their players about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that they were all really focused on this game, but at the same time, I still felt that Blackrock would have too much for them, so I would have to say that I was slightly surprised at that result.
5-12 to 2-17 it finished, in a big second half there from Ballymartle.
The goal got there towards the end for Ballymartle made an enormous difference, but look, I'd say the Rockies are looking kind of shell-shocked with the way they lost the game, but yeah, you can't switch off at this level, and by all accounts it was a case that the Rockies probably thought they had slightly just got a bit over the line, and all of a sudden Ballymartle blitz them, so that can happen. But you have to, this was in a way, it's a sign of inexperience at that level for Blackrock, because they do have a lot of young fellas in their team, but it probably could be the best thing for them in terms of looking ahead to the next season or two, you know.
So that's Ballymartle through to the Senior Hurling Championship quarterfinals, the first side through, and the rest of the round four games coming up after the senior hurlers are in action in the All-Ireland semi-final next week, of course. So now we'll switch our attention to the Senior Football Championship, and first maybe look at the Bishopstown and St Finbar's match, Peter.
Yeah, now I have to say, looking at this game last night, I was disappointed enough with the standard of the match. I expected a bit more. Mick Slocum's Barrett side, I thought they'd be a bit better, certainly. Rob O'Mahony was quite good for them, right? But he didn't get much in the way of support offensively. Jason Sexton didn't get much ball. Kevin Hodgins put him ahead right in the first minute, about 15 seconds into the game. He slotted over, giving the Bears a lead. But in fairness, Bishopstown really came into the game, and between the 6th and the 19th minutes, through the Faker Deshunig, Paul Hoonan, Sam Oakes, who was absolutely outstanding, Ken Hannerton with a 45, and Oakes again another 30-metre free to put Town 5 points to one ahead. Kind of from there, you did feel right that the Bears were going to struggle. O'Mahony kind of hit back for them, and Jason Sexton levelled over a 30-metre free. But again, Oakes, as he was, I have to say, this has got one guy that could potentially be worth a look at inter-county level, certainly maybe in a challenge match even next year. He's been making great strides, and I thought he was superb last night, and probably one of the few shining nights in the game. He put Bishop on a 6-3 up, and in the 32nd minute, then Jason Sexton missed a kind of a crucial enough free for the Bears, which just would have brought him back into it again, and then Oakes scored again, so it was 7-3 at half time to Bishopstown. And I suppose one of the other key stats from the first half was the fact that Bishopstown had 7 wides to Bears 2, so that kind of was an indication of the dominance of Bishopstown, you know. Bears, kind of the start of the second half, they were a bit rejuvenated, right? You had Sexton, Glenn O'Connor, and Sexton again on the score sheet, but just to bring it to within 1 by the 37th minute, so it was 7-6 then. But again, Bishopstown showed a lot of resolve, because you were getting O'Halloran stepping up with another 45, Oaks on the score sheet, Brian Coffrey and Hoonan again, so all of a sudden they're back to an 11-6 lead. And really, even though the Bears got a lot of 2 scores again, Adrian Murphy had a free, and Sexton another free, the game was beyond them even at that point. In fairness, they had every opportunity to try and generate a goal, because they nearly went into the 5th minute of added on time. But in fairness, Bishopstown were deserving of their victory in the end.
Okay, good stuff. That was the first of a doubleheader in Páirc Uaireann last night, of course, and Clonakilty emerging victorious in the second match.
Yeah, the rain was torrential for this match, which definitely impacted on the capacity of the two teams to produce any sort of a high standard game, in fairness to them. I mean, I was standing on the pitch afterwards, and the underfoot conditions were very poor, and of course, as you know, the rain really was that bad last night, and it must have been very difficult for anybody to try and deal with any kind of meaningful attacks. Had I ended up with 1-3 in the game, and to put into perspective, they didn't score a point from open play. They just had 1 point in the second half. It was a Cian Fleming point in the 34th minute. So, you know, just goes to show how tough it was for attackers last night.
Yeah, well, it's very low scoring. Was that the setup of Clonakilty, or?
Clon certainly set up that way, yeah. I was just going to get to that, actually. There was one thing I noticed, particularly towards the end of the first half, that, you know, when I had a war trying to break down the wall, you had a scenario basically where Clon had 2 isolated forwards and they had 13 men, not just inside their own half, but in behind their own half back lane, so to speak. And it just made things very, very difficult for Ada to play through possessions there, like, you know, and they broke quite a bit, and their counter-attacks were quite effective. I thought David O'Regan was actually very good for Clonakilty. He ended up with 4 points, 3 from playing a 45. But in fairness, like, you know, you look at it, Ada, they scored in the 7th, the 9th, the 24th and 34th minutes, and even though they had 10 wides, Clon had also 11. So generally, the shooting on show was quite poor. Now, I know that Clonakilty were going to the quarter-final against Carbery Rangers or Castlehaven, but they'd have to improve at least 20% if they're going to really compete against either of those two teams, obviously, particularly Castlehaven, assuming that they get over the line against Rosscarbery. But there's a lot of improvement to do. Fleming put had ahead with a 20-metre free in the 7 minutes, but Anglin hit back for Clonakilty. And then Owen Savage, who was named at number 8, named at midfield but playing in the inside line for a while, he got a goal, slotted it past the goalkeeper there for Clonakilty. So that gave them a 1-1 to 1 point lead inside the 9th minute. And, you know, that kind of, you would have expected they had it to kind of kick on from that, but they just didn't. And Regan slotted over 45, and there was 3 huge scores then from Regan again, Conor Donovan and a Conor Donovan free. So that gave kind of 5 points to 1-1 lead after 23 minutes, and that kind of platform, then they kind of kicked on from that. Graham Murray hit back with a 20-metre free for Ahada, But in saying that, you know, they just, you could see that they were really struggling to generate any sort of meaningful scores from play because of the fact that they were shooting from awkward enough angles and they were firing a few ways. They'd four alone in the first half and even more in the second half. Now, in saying that, they came out, they started well again. Hugh Fleming getting a, he's very sweetly struck free. That brought it, that gave him another lead, 1-3-5. But again, that was their final score of the match, which I believe. So, that was, you know, that kind of sums up their second half performance in many ways. Mm. David O'Regan levelled up again on the 46th for Clan, and he scored in on the 49th, and it was kind of defining, really, because it just gave Clan that extra. It was only the second time again that they led. And it was again, it was the kind of score that really killed the Hatters challenge, really. Because Jack O'Mahony then, and Ina Falvey, and Jack O'Mahony again kind of added on score. So just to really kind of finish it off. So it ended up 10 points to 1-3 there. Mm. But in saying that, the conditions were very, very poor, you know.
Difficult night. Finally then, in the Senior Football Championship action last night, Peter and Nemo Rangers, they heaped a heavy defeat on Island Rovers. 4-11 to 1-9 this finished.
Exactly. And look, Nemo's class again comes to the fore there. The fact that, like the Barry O'Driscoll on song there, Kerrigan saying, you know, all these guys. Listen, to be honest, like, you know, the way the draw is shaping up as well, you could be a scenario where Castlehaven are going to play Nemo again in the final. They got four goals, and, you know, they are a side that are capable of getting goals. They can play, like, kind of in many ways, like, you're looking at Hadda there that couldn't play through the possessions of Clonakilty's defensive line. But you have teams like Nemo with attackers that can actually break that down. Quick hands, quick feet, quick thinking, and that makes an enormous difference because you can't get the scores on the board. Ireland, look, every year they kind of like, they come up with the team that they have a young side and they're making progress, but unfortunately they come up against the big hitters of these rounds and they just can't seem to get over the line. Now next year again they'll go again, no doubt, but look, to be fair to them, I just feel at the moment that Castlehaven and Nemo are probably streets ahead of everyone else. Certainly based on what I saw in Parkirin last night myself, that, you know, the four teams were on show, like, I'd be very, very surprised, like, certainly now with the two gone through, I'd be very surprised if either two go through that they'd make an impact. Maybe Bishopstown can kick on, but again, they'd also need to improve a bit, you know.
And that's Peter McNamara of the Evening Echo rounding up all the local Gaelic Games action. One senior football result from this afternoon's action. Since Leitza spoke to Peter, Ballincollig beating Carberry 3-15 to 1-11 to progress to the quarterfinals. Pat Kelly with the goal, Sean Kiley with the third for Ballincollig. Other results in the Premier Intermediate Football Championship. A goal separated in the Pearshig and Castletown Bear last night. The Pearshig taking the win 113-13 points. Earlier on today, Naeve Vaughan overcame Ballinora 10 points to 9. And at 7:15, Mallow and Newmarket clash in Kanturk. And one result this weekend in the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship, Ballinhassig had a narrow 1-9 to 1-8 win over Blarney. Right, we're going to talk American football now. It's a massive week for the Cork Admirals. They've made it into the bowl final against UCD in their first season back after a hiatus. To find out more, Stuart Donaldson called in to look ahead to next weekend's game. Talk to us about your season, because the Admirals kind of disbanded. You've risen from the ashes and you've gotten to the bowl in your first season. It's been an incredible turnaround.
Yeah, I think we surprised ourselves as much as anything. Our opening game of the season was against UCD, and we were beaten well, 53 points. Now, having said that, a lot of our players that day were playing their first game. It was a real baptism of fire. So we've worked hard on the training field since then, and we've been able to improve results so much that when we played UCD in our return game, we were able to sneak a close victory over them.
How many new players had you into the squad then this season?
I would say 80% of our players were new, with a small core of veterans. So like it's been a long process to get the guys to level, you know, that they compete or that they can compete, you know. But it's been good.
So guys have literally been learning as they've been playing.
Literally, yeah. And I suppose really the best way to learn is playing games, and you find out that, you know, this sport isn't as easy as you think it is. You know,
it certainly isn't. What were the aspirations going into the season? Because like I can't imagine that you thought at the start of the season you get to the bowl, did you?
No, we really just wanted to come in and compete. As I said, we folded last season, so we wanted just to complete our full set of games. Never in our wildest dreams did we think that we'd be at a bowl game. And I do remember driving home after that first game against UCD and thinking, this is going to be a long season.
So how do you train the guys then? I mean, like, as you said, a lot of the guys didn't have experience. So, I mean, like, how tough was it to get the guys up to speed, up to match speed?
Well, you literally start off with the basics, you know. You look at guys, obviously, and you look at, depending at their size or their, you know, how tall they are or whatever, you do look at the positions, but you do get to try guys out in every position, and you get to know what guys' strengths are, and you work from there. But, you know, everyone needs to learn the basics of carrying the ball, needs to learn the basics of tackling, needs to learn the basics of blocking. So we start from the start, and like literally, as I said, 80% of our guys had never touched an American football. So you start away and work from there.
I imagine these guys though are big American football fans and will have watched a lot of it, and then you make the transition to on the field, and as an adult learner of a sport, it must be quite strange. I won't use the word funny, but it's a big learning process.
I think, you know, you are right that the majority of the guys that do come in, they've watched it, or they've watched it for, and that's where they got their initial interest, and then they learn about the team. But yeah, I think a lot of guys, when they get that first hit, they're a little bit surprised, a little bit taken aback, and they go, "Oh, this is, you know, it is a real competitive sport, you know." But most guys get involved, they really get into it, and are really committed guys.
I'm just intrigued as well. Sorry, Rory. When new guys starting off with American football, is there skills from Gaelic football or hurling or even rugby that are there that are, you know, can transfer over?
I think if you've played any competitive sport, really, that, you know, or in fact, if you've never played any sport, we have guys who've come in this season who've never played a sport at all. But yeah, anyone who would play, I suppose rugby would be the, you know, the sport that would compare most, you know, with the skill set, you know, talking about carrying the ball or tackling. But like we have GAA players, you know, who are X and Y receivers, you know, catching the ball, they're well used to going up for a high ball, you know. So I think you can take a little bit from every sport, but you don't necessarily have to play the sport. We're looking for anybody to come along and play with us.
Now, you've had decent numbers as well this season, which is important because it means that guys aren't on the field for every play and they get a bit of a break.
Exactly, yeah. We've, you'll have 11 on offence and 11 on defence. And the last thing you want is to go with probably anything less than 12 players, or sorry, anything less than 20 players, because, you know, you will, as you say, have players on both sides of the ball. And we've had about 25 for most of our games, and you'd want probably at least that to be competitive.
Mm. Well, who was coaching this season? Did you have like offence and defence coaches, or was just one overall head coach?
Again, starting off, we had Peter Glavin who came in. He was from previous seasons. But a lot of the time, you know, you need a number of coaches, you say, for the various different parts of it. So it was actually players, you know, the veteran players were stepping up to their mark, which was a learning experience for us too as well, starting over. Guys who mightn't have coached before then had to step into that role as well as playing. Mm. So that was a difficulty for us, but you know, we've progressed with it.
Mm. What's the plan now for the week? You play next Saturday or Sunday?
Next Sunday.
So what's the plan training wise for the week?
We're training tomorrow in Kennedy Park. That's where we train most of the time. So we have a 2-hour session there tomorrow. Train again on Wednesday at 7:30, and we'll be looking probably just, you know, get in one other session maybe on the Saturday before we travel up.
And did you do many classroom sessions then? Did you analyse film of the opposition, stuff like that, or is it hard to get film on? Like,
mostly, you know, you'll record the games that you play against, you know, when you play them, yeah. And then you'll have it for the reverse fixture. But there is plenty of footage available on the internet and on YouTube, and maybe it's a little bit nerdy. You find yourself up at all hours of the night studying game footage from YouTube from 2 years ago or whatever. Yeah. But that's really, you know, because it's such a kind of a tactical battle, you know, like a chess battle, it really is a case you do have to study the footage. And any of the real successful teams will have in-depth study of that.
Mm. And taking on UCD now for the third time this season, having lost so heavily to them the first time, making progress maybe for the second game, where do you think you've come now for the third one?
Well, we've had some seriously hard games. Even after we beat them at home, we still had some very hard games to compete. We played Meath away, Mullingar at home, played Drogheda as well, and they're all tough physical games. I think our guys are, you know, they're really getting used to the sport now. They're, I suppose, what we call hit fit, you know, they're used to taking the knocks and the bangs. So, like, I wouldn't say we're confident going into the game, but we're certainly going to be competitive. We're going to give it our all. And you know, we've already snuck one over them this season already, so who knows on the day, as they say, any given Sunday.
the best of luck to the Cork Admirals in the IAFL Bowl against UCD next week. That's Stuart Donaldson there talking about their season. Going to look back on the Community Shield today, the first competitive game of the season. Arsenal picking up the first piece of silverware as well, beating Manchester City 3-0 at Wembley. There for us was Lawrence Mora.
Well, Arsenal fans will be a happy bunch tonight. Their team have won this 3-0 and bossed this game from start to finish. Cazorla and Ramsey struck first half goals to make it 2-0 at the break. Then just as City were threatening to actually break sweat in their attempt to get back into the match, Giroud smashed a beauty of a third. One team looked like they really wanted to win this. The other team looked like they were still on the beach. Arsenal win the Community Shield 3-0.
Yeah, certainly wasn't the greatest games today in Wembley. Not that Captain Mikel Arteta cares. He's delighted the Gunners have gotten off to a winning start.
It was a good test as well to see where we are for next week to start the Premier League. And I think we had some periods in the game where we looked really good.
I couldn't understand any of that. Great scenes. Right, that was the Community Shield wrap-up. Celtic have responded.
Oh!
Legia Warsaw, in case you missed it, have sent a begging letter to Celtic saying, please play us in a game to see if we can play in the Champions League. Celtic have responded to say they are disappointed after Legia called them to arrange a one-off game to decide who'll play in the Champions League playoffs. The Scottish champions replaced them in the next stage of the competition after UEFA ruled the Polish side had fielded an unregistered player when the two sides met in their recent qualifiers. So basically Celtic are saying, yeah.
I kind of get where they're coming from. Yeah. Disappointed is a good way to describe it because, you know, they're putting the responsibility back on Celtic and are they trying to make them look bad now? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can understand that disappointed is a good way of putting it, yeah.
All right, we're going to talk golf very briefly. A place that hasn't resumed at Valhalla because of the torrential rain. Rory McIlroy is the leader. He was due to go to 5-8. That's going to be delayed now. It might even be tomorrow at this stage because the rain is so bad.
It's stopped, apparently. I'm just looking at a live update here now. At the moment, there's an hour of a delay, but the latest from Valhalla, it's official, the rain has stopped. So whether it'll clear, I'm not so sure. But then somebody else saying here that there's more bad weather forecast for tomorrow, so Dominic's plans for Tuesday.
Right, we're going to hear from McIlroy after he finished last night.
Where you want to be, you know, it's the position you want to be in. You know, it's not, you know, we don't practice all these hours and, you know, grind on the range and put so much work into it to be teeing off in the middle of the pack on a Sunday of a major. That's where you want to be. So stressful at times, but you got to enjoy it because it's the best position to be in a golf tournament. It wasn't as easy as I expected it to be out there today. You know, they tucked a few pins away, and obviously playing with the lead as well, you maybe can't play with the freedom as if you're chasing. But really happy with, you know, with how I finished. You know, to shoot another 67 without really having my best stuff for some of the round was really, really pleasing. And I knew I needed to do something in those last few holes, and to be able to pull a few birdies out like that was really pleasing. And you know, happy that I've, you know, kept the lead going into tomorrow. 24 putts is a good performance out there. Yeah, I felt really, really comfortable with the putter for the last maybe the last couple of months. You know, I worked on a couple of things after the Masters, and it really seems to have clicked. So it was a big, yeah, it was a big putting round out there, and you know, there was a lot of putts that sort of kept the momentum of the round going.
There's not many people going to be betting against him, are
no? He's superb. He's really, it's his reaction in all these press conferences as well. I've been really impressed with Rory. He seems really, really focused.
He seems to have worked a lot in the mental aspect of his game recently.
Yeah. And everybody's making the joke about how he, you know, being single and he's more focused and the whole lot. But I think it's a culmination of a lot of different things, and definitely his approach mentally. He got over that Freaky Friday thing that was going on for a while, and now he's just really positive going forward at all times and talking really confidently, but he's talking the talk and walking the walk.
Because I think was that after Thursday or Friday, or was it around, I can't remember when, he said that he has trigger words out in the course. So something goes bad, he has a trigger word to help him with the mental aspect, to improve him that way. So I mean, like, he's obviously done a lot of work with a support psychologist to help him get to that next level, because physically he's in the prime of his life. He's absolutely, like, we saw the guy down at the Irish Open, like, this guy was just like 5'9" of sheer muscle.
Yeah, he's, but he has worked on his physical side too. So it's, as I said again, a culmination of everything. But I remember reading about after the Open victory on the Tuesday, after doing a little bit of celebrating, he was back in a high intensity kind of gym session and with sports scientists working everything out of his system that might have been in his system, fully back getting focused. Yeah. So it's been really impressive, and the mental aspect of the game of golf is so important.
Yeah.
You've seen me out in the course. You get so easily frustrated that it's a massive
bored and distracted
aspect.
As I tend to do after nine holes.
There's some interesting reaction online this evening, player reaction. Paul McGinley reckons that the course will dry up fairly quickly, so he's getting a little bit of abuse online about his skills as a weatherman. Lee Westwood has been on Instagram, Sunday afternoon, empty range, not good, with a big puss on him. It's quite a funny picture. And Rory's commented on the weather delay as well, and he's just said, there's not much you can do about this weather, you just have to wait it out, and hopefully we'll get the chance to get out there and play. This course has taken a soaking this week, it's been another big downpour. Hopefully it'll dry quickly and we can get some golf played today.
Right, that's pretty much our show for you this evening. Before we go away, we had a competition giving you the chance to win a VIP table at Reardon's Bar to watch the All-Ireland Hurling semi-final for you and three of your buddies, including complimentary food, drinks and a match programme. That's with thanks to Reardon's Bar getting behind the Rebels. The winners, Lisa, are
Kevin O'Connell in Cove, Nicole Sheehan from Kinturk and Hayden Doyle from Crosses Green.
Thank you very much for tuning our way this evening. All the best bits of our show from today and last night will be online, redfm.ie/sport. And you can follow us on Twitter as well at Big Red Bench. Ashley is up next with Green on Red, three of the best hours of Irish music. And then Stevie's up with Black on Red from 10 p.m. this evening. Enjoy your evening, folks. We will talk to you next Saturday from 6.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
with Chill Insurance, proud sponsors of Cork GAA for all your home insurance needs.